Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
It is one of the most feared brain diseases. Alzheimer's robs people of their memory bit by bit, has no cure, and with an aging population, it shows no sign of slowing down. That does not mean that all hope is gone. My guest is Carol Steinberg, and she's the president of the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. We're talking today about some myths surrounding Alzheimer's disease. Welcome to the show, Carol. So let's start with a few myths about it. Some memory loss is normal as we age. Is this true or is this false?
This is true. There are types of memory loss that are expected as one ages, but when there are certain warning signs, that is cause for concern. For example, the best example we could give people is that everyone loses their keys now and then. But if you forget what your keys are for, or if there's very repetitive habits of losing your keys, that's some cause of concern.
So there are sort of flags that come up. And as you say, some memory loss is normal, but the one that you've pointed out is if you forget what your keys were for, that would signal a red flag. Now, people are talking about, you know, diet, exercise, mental activities, brain functions to help prevent or delay the onset of Alzheimer's. Are these things helpful or not?
They are helpful for several reasons. One is that we know that healthy lifestyles in general are good for you. So what is good for the heart is good for the brain. There's no absolute evidence that healthy lifestyles such as physical exercise, mental exercise, things like and good nutrition, things like that, will prevent Alzheimer's disease. But what we know is they do no harm. And ultimately, they may prevent some of the risk factors that cause Alzheimer's disease, such as diabetes and obesity and high blood pressure. So there's no reason not to do these healthy lifestyles. They can only help.
Okay, so you mentioned some risk factors. Let's talk about those risk factors for a minute. You mentioned hypertension and diabetes. Where does genetics play a part? Is there a genetic role in Alzheimer's?
There is a genetic role in some people. That's only part of the puzzle. In fact, of late, there have been more genes that have been identified as playing a role in Alzheimer's disease. So in general, one could say that if there is a family history of Alzheimer's disease, you are at higher risk. But there are many cases of Alzheimer's disease where there's no genetic component at all. And at the same time, there are people whose parents have had the gene for Alzheimer's disease and they carry the gene themselves but will never develop symptoms of the disease.
One of the myths that we hear quite often, Carol, is that it's an old person's disease. Myth or fact?
Myth. Alzheimer's disease primarily affects the population 65 and older. In fact, the incidence increases, doubles every 5 years after age 65. But we've seen Alzheimer's disease in people as young as in their 30s and their 40s. It's a rarer form of Alzheimer's disease called young onset, which is why it's so important, even if you're young and you're starting to see memory problems, that you go investigate what they are. It's possible that it comes from reversible conditions like thyroid or depression or vitamin deficiency, but it can also be Alzheimer's disease even at that very young age.
So as people age, they do, as we spoke about, some memory loss, but there is also an age-related dementia that just happens. And with this population, Carol, getting older and older, I know many people well into their 90s right now. And so as this age-related dementia, what is the difference between that and Alzheimer's? Because people say, oh, it must be Alzheimer's. But really, they're just going through that dementia. Can you explain the difference a little bit
for us? Again, Alzheimer's disease is not a normal part of aging. Dementia refers to a general term that describes a group of symptoms related to the loss of multiple functions, such as loss of memory, loss of judgment, language difficulties that interfere with daily living. And Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia in people age 65 and older. Other types, alcohol-related dementia, Lewy body dementia, vascular dementia. Again, if somebody's noticing memory problems that seem a bit out of whack, that there's a pattern to them that's repetitive, that's when it really should be explored.
And where does depression fit in? Because one of the myths that people have talked about is that it can cause Alzheimer's disease or increase the severity of your Alzheimer's disease.
There is a link between dementia and depression. Many of the symptoms mirror each other, and again, that's why diagnosis of the disease is so important. It could be depression that's causing memory problems, and that would be a totally different cause of treatment than if it's Alzheimer's disease causing depression. We also do find an increased incidence of depression in people with Alzheimer's disease. We also find depression in caregivers of people with Alzheimer's disease because of the overwhelming burden of this disease. And all of this, again, points to the need for early detection, proper diagnosis, taking care of yourself as a caregiver, and lifestyle choices.
I'm glad you mentioned caregiver because, as someone who has done it, it is quite a very taxing care thing to do, to be a caregiver for someone with Alzheimer's. Speak a little bit about, you're talking about early detection. What are some of the treatment options that are available to people who get that early detection?
The FDA has approved a handful of medications that may help slow symptoms of the disease, and in general, it's thought that the earlier someone goes on treatment, the better. These treatments do not prevent, they do not cure, they do not reverse the disease. Again, they may help slow symptoms. But the biggest benefit of early detection is that you understand what is going on, you can get educated about the disease. If your memory and other cognitive skills are still intact, you could communicate your end-of-life wishes. You could join a support group. You could get your legal and financial affairs in place. And all these things are very important in terms of helping also to reduce the caregiver burden and giving yourself, the person with the disease, more dignity and making their voice heard.
So you mentioned that some of the treatments are mainly to delay or symptom management. Do they help?
May help slow symptoms of the disease. But in addition to medications, there are behavioral interventions, recreational therapies, and these lifestyle choices. And all these things come into play and really can help improve quality of life for someone with Alzheimer's disease.
Well, Carol, as president of the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, tell us what's going on in the research world of Alzheimer's right now.
There are multiple clinical trials going on. Unfortunately, there have been some in the past year that have failed. The drugs that we were counting on to making some impact have failed. Scientists are looking at ways primarily to prevent the disease, to effectively treat the disease, and they're looking at earliest stages of the disease, pre-symptomatic, to try to find out still what's causing this disease. So we're not only looking at how to treat it, we're still looking at what are the causes of the disease. The unfortunate part is that not enough dollars are being spent on research. Only 4 cents of every dollar is being spent at the national level on research for Alzheimer's disease, which really pales in comparison to the rising incidence of this disease. We really are dealing with a silver tsunami right now. It is the most costly disease in the U.S. right now, the most feared disease in the U.S., and the incidence is expected to triple by mid-century.
In just the last 10 or 15 seconds here, Carol, please just tell us where we can find out more information about the Alzheimer's Foundation of America.
Visit the Alzheimer's Foundation of America's website at www.alzfdn.org. We'll call our toll-free helpline, 866-232-8484.
And the website is alzfdn.org, or you can call the helpline, 866-232-8484. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.